Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 7. It's on page 595 in your pew Bible. I'm thinking 595, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 7, reading all the way to chapter 12, verse 7. So Ecclesiastes 11, beginning at verse 7. And after we've read this passage of Scripture, let's respond by singing Psalter number 383. Number 383, All That I Am, I Owe to Thee. All the stanzas of number 383. Here is the word of God. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many days and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terror in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The text for this afternoon's sermon is especially the first part of verse 1, although we'll look at it in its context. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Dear congregation, the Bible explicitly calls us to remember several things. It calls us to remember Lot's wife. It calls us to remember the Sabbath day. It calls us to remember Christ's death. And it also calls out to the youth and says, remember your Creator. And that's what you can write over the sermon. Youth, remember your Creator. We'll see four things. First of all, who. Secondly, how. Thirdly, when. And fourthly, why. Youth, remember your Creator. Who, how, when, and why. When we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, as we do this afternoon, dear congregation, we hear Solomon reflecting on the emptiness of life apart from the Lord, our Creator. And that's coming from a man who has seen it all and done it all. Whatever he wanted, he could get, tells us that in chapter 2, verse 10. But he found that life apart from God only brought pain, misery, and grief. And he wants to instruct the next generation to seek a relationship with the Lord. And he says that clearly in the words of our text. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Yes, in these verses, Solomon has advice to give for the young people. And not just one piece of advice either, but several pieces of advice. For one thing, he says, enjoy life wisely. Chapter 11, verse 9, if you have your Bible open. Chapter 11, verse 9, there he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Now, these words might be surprising to us. We might find them unexpected, especially if you think of the preacher as someone who's taken up with doom and gloom. Then you might be surprised that he says, now be happy. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you. Let me put it this way. Relish your youth. It's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Now, does the preacher really mean it? Should we take him seriously? Or is he using irony, perhaps? Is he speaking tongue in cheek? You know, that's how some people take the words of Solomon here, saying, no, we shouldn't take him so seriously. He is using irony. He sounds serious, but he's not here serious, and he doesn't want you to take this call to enjoy your youth serious. But I believe that Solomon is serious in what he is saying. He is saying, young people, enjoy your life wisely. Now, I know that may come as a surprise to many. It may surprise people that the Bible not only permits happiness, but commands it. People outside the church may not realize it, and people inside the church might not realize it either. Sometimes people think that if you live by the Bible, you will be miserable and unhappy, and you'll walk around with a long face, and you'll always have a frown on your face. But there's reason for joy, even just for the day and the sunshine. Look at what he says in verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Isn't that true? How sweet the light of day is. How wonderful it is to have sunshine. And should we take any day for granted? Should we not delight in every hour of light? May young people not enjoy simple and ordinary pleasures in life? Or should we encourage young people to be filled with unnecessary cares and anxiety? Is it not better to urge them to bring their cares to the Lord, to cast their burdens upon Him, and to seek joy and happiness in a relationship with Him? Does it not say in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone? If I can put it this way, a cheerful heart is good for your health. Therefore, rejoice in your young years. Seek to enjoy life to the full. But then in the second part of verse 11, Solomon adds a warning. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. He's reminding us that a day of judgment is coming. In the words of Acts 17, verse 31, God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. A day is coming when He will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, Romans 2, verse 16. We will have to stand, boys and girls, young people, will have to stand before the great judge of heaven and earth one day. And our whole life will be reviewed, and we'll have to answer His questions. Also this one, how have you spent your youth? How have you lived your life? What have you done? What have you not done? So yes, enjoy your youth wisely. You see, Solomon is not saying pursue sinful pleasures. He's not saying, young people, indulge yourself. He's not saying, if it feels good, do it. Live it up the way the world understands it. No, after all, Solomon knows that sin doesn't bring happiness and doesn't bring lasting pleasure. It brings misery and agony and pain. Solomon knows that from his own life. And God's word has set bounds. God's word has set limits. Not to destroy happiness and pleasure, but to show us how to live as God made us to live, in a living relationship with the living God, following His word. Following His word is not meant, is not the way of unhappiness, but it's the way of true happiness. I mean, think of driving. There are laws for the road, rules for driving. Maybe sometimes we find those laws to be a burden. But if everyone were to drive around on our roads ignoring the rules, that would not bring happiness at all. We need the rules of the road to make driving safe and enjoyable for everyone. And so it is here. We need the Word of God to make life safe and enjoyable. And when people ignore it, that doesn't bring happiness or freedom, but misery and bondage. But within the parameters of the Word of God, there is great joy to be found in the Lord Jesus. There is a full life to live, young people, whether that life be a short life or a long life. After all, He said in John 10, I am come that you might have life, and that to the full. That's how you can enjoy life wisely. And then, coming to the words of our text, there's a second word of advice for our young people, a second word of instruction. The first one was enjoy life wisely. The second is remember God early. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And I wanted to stand still at a number of questions. First of all, who are we to remember? Our Creator. He made us. True, He created everything. So Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created the universe. He created light. Created the earth, the dry land, the sun, moon, and stars. He created birds and fish and tigers and elephants and trees and flowers. He created everything. And He created you and me as we are. It's what Psalm 100 sings about. Know that the Lord, He is our God. He made us and not we ourselves. He created us, forming us in the womb of our mother with eyes and ears and mouth and nose and arms and legs and body and soul. It's astonishing, isn't it? But it's true. We've been made by someone. And we've been given life and breath, given our souls and our bodies, our limbs and our senses by God. We're creatures made by our Creator, and He's made us for a purpose. He's made us to glorify Him and enjoy Him. We were made to live for Him in His glory. It's what the church sings about in Revelation 4 verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And do we live for His glory? Do we live for the honor of our Creator? For He not only created us, but He cares for us. Even after our fall into sin, even after all the ways in which we've lived forgetting Him, He's given us every breath that we breathe. He gives us the ability to see. He gives us the ability to hear. He gives us the strength that we have. He gives us the health we enjoy. He gives us the energy we receive. He helps us to do our task each day again. He's our creator and he's our sustainer. I know people don't want to face up to that. People don't want to face up to creation. They'd rather believe in the theory of evolution than the truth of creation, because they know that if they have been made by someone, then we have obligations to him. Then we're responsible to him. If we've been made by someone, then that should impact who we are and what we do. And then we're accountable to him. And we are. He's our creator, our sustainer, and our judge. Young people, who are we to remember? The God who made us. The God who cares for us. The God who is near to us. Acts 17, verse 27. The God who watches us. The God who speaks to us. The God of heaven and earth. The God of the Bible. Remember now your Creator. You know, there are things we don't need to remember. We don't need to remember everything. Some people remember useless facts and useless information. Some people remember the dreams they have at night. Some people remember a phone number or an address from when they were very young, but it's not their phone and address now anymore. There are many things we don't need to remember. There are many people we don't need to remember. We don't need to remember everyone, also not in the world of sports and entertainment. But we do need to remember our Creator. We need to remember our Maker. We need to remember the Lord. Who we are to remember. Secondly, how are we to remember Him? Yes, how? We are to remember our Creator. And that's not just having a passing thought that goes through your mind, a fleeting thought going through your brain. It's not just recalling some facts or regurgitating some information. It's not just young people remembering your French vocab words for a test. But for the rest, those French vocab words change nothing in your life. No, it's not just recalling some facts, but it does something to you in your life. I mean, when the Lord calls us to remember the Sabbath day, He's not just calling us to sit on our couches and simply remember, oh yes, it's Sunday today, and keep on sitting on the couch. No, if it's right, the fact that it's the Sabbath day moves us to get up and to go to worship. It moves us to gather with God's people. It moves us to honor that day. It moves us to love that day like no other day of the week. That's the idea. Remembering your anniversary. That's not just to have a fleeting thought. Oh, it's our anniversary today. No, that's to impact the things you get, the things you do, the words you speak. Or the words of Psalm 137, verse 5 and 6. Remembering is to make God your chief joy, to honor Him as your greatest love. Make Him the center of your life. And of everything you do, that's the idea. See your need of God and commit your life to God. It's not just an intellectual activity. It's a spiritual activity that has practical implications from the small things to the big things. It's not just learning some things with your heads, but it's living for Him with your life. That's the idea. It's a remembering that impacts your life, that changes things in your daily life. It turns us from being self-centered to being God-centered. It turns us from just thinking about ourselves to thinking about God. God begins to enter into your thoughts. God enters into your thinking, and you see your need of Him, and you want to serve Him, and who He is and what He has done and what He says impacts you and influences you in your daily life. It's a remembering Him. In faith and hope and love. A God-centered life is a life of faith in the Lord, a life of hope in the Lord, a life of love for the Lord. And it begins with remembering. And how important that is. And sin? Sin is forgetting God. And how many days have not gone by without scarcely a thought of God, who made us and who cares for us? Sin is forgetting God. It's forgetting His word. It was the sin in paradise when Adam and Eve listened to Satan and willfully forgot God. In the days of Noah, what were they doing but forgetting God? In the days of Lot, they were forgetting God. Even Lot himself forgot God by moving into Sodom. And when Moses struck the rock, he forgot God. And when David committed adultery, he forgot God. Their God and Savior, they forgot. The Lord even says in Jeremiah 2 verse 32, "Can a bride forget her wedding dress and her ornaments? Yes, my people have forgotten me days without number." Imagine that. Young women don't show up in their wedding without their wedding dress. They don't forget their jewelry, do they? "But my people forget me," the Lord says. Day after day, they hardly give me a thought. And all we need is to be distracted. And Satan is doing what he can to distract us by so many things, trying to drown out the voice of God, the thought of God, with music and sports and entertainment. And we scroll endlessly on our phone and social media so that we can go on living distracted lives. But into our distracted lives, the voice of the Lord sounds in Ecclesiastes 12 and says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Trust Him. Love Him. Make Him the center of your life." Maybe you say, "But I can't believe on Him on my own. And I can't love Him and hope in Him on my own." Do you think that your Creator will give that to you as a good excuse? He made you. He made you good. And your fallenness and your sinfulness and your distractedness is not His fault. And doesn't your sinfulness and fallenness and distractedness show you how much you need Him? And what kind of a life will you live if He is not at the center of your life? Malcolm Muggeridge was a journalist and politician in England who came to conversion later in life. He'd been a successful man, from a worldly point of view at least. But when he came to Christ, he didn't think that his life had been such a successful life at all. He wrote his biography after coming to Christ, and he entitled it this way, "Chronicles of Wasted Time." That's what you're doing. If you're living life without a living relationship with the Creator through Christ, your life without Christ are chronicles of a wasted time. Who we are to remember. How we are to remember. Thirdly, when are we to remember Him? When are we to remember Him? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." Solomon is saying, young people, remember him before the days of trouble come, before you grow old and life is not so pleasant anymore. And Solomon pictures it in this metaphorical way, in an almost end time way, with this impending storm and the sun is darkened and the rain clouds continue darkening your sky. Verse 2. Verse 3, remember him before your legs, the keepers of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men hang down and stoop. Yeah, in your old age, your muscles are not so strong anymore. Your grip becomes weak, your joints become stiff, and your teeth, your grinders stop grinding because you don't have too many left, and your vision is not so clear anymore, and your eyes become dim. Verse 4, remember him before your access to the outside world closes and doors are closing and the noise and the hum of the world is fading, while you rise at the first chirping of the birds, the sounds of the birds grow faint. Verse 5, remember him before you become afraid of heights and worry about all sorts of dangers, before your hair turns white like the white leaves of an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along like a grasshopper in cold weather, and you become listless and you can't do anything anymore. And remember him before you near the grave, because you're going to your everlasting home and the mourners will weep at your funeral. And that's how Solomon is describing for us the process of aging in his day. They didn't have it so easy. They didn't have many of the helpful things that older people have in our day. People did not have walkers or wheelchairs. They did not have false teeth or hearing aids. They didn't have cataract surgery. In our day, with all those inventions, maybe the process of aging seems different. But is it really different? If we become old, we too will weaken and decay. I know people can dye their hair and have a cosmetic surgery and remove some wrinkles. Some people might not look old, but that doesn't mean they are not old. And we are all on our way to the grave in spite of all the exercise we might have, the skin treatments we have to remove our wrinkles. We're all on our way to the grave. And are we prepared to die? And death is not the end. Death is just the beginning of eternity that goes on and on and on. At death, we will meet our Creator. How will we stand before him? Will you stand before him without fear? Do we take Solomon's words to heart to remember the Lord in the days of our youth, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes? One pastor tells the story of an elderly man in his 70s who had to deal with a terrible disease. One day when his pastor came to see him, he was in great pain. The minister asked him how he was doing, and he said, "Don't ask me. I can't describe the pain, but one thing I know is that if I still had to be saved now, it would be too late. I can hardly think, and I can hardly pray because of the pain." Young people, remember him before it's too late. You've been given a certain amount of time on the earth. You don't know how long. Some live to be 80. Some live to be 90. Most people don't. Some die after being sick. Others die who were completely healthy. And why would you say that you'll seek him at the end when the Lord says, "Seek me in the beginning"? Why would you seek him when you're old, when he says, seek me when you're young? Remember now your Creator, he says, in this very moment, today, here, now, not tomorrow, as Felix did. Felix, whom we read about in the book of Acts, who under the preaching of Paul was convicted and troubled, but his own heart said, but oh, Felix, try not to think about that today. Don't think about God and heaven and hell and judgment today. Deal with that another time. Deal with that tomorrow, but not today. Is that what you're saying? I will get to this serious stuff when the serious time comes. That's what one daughter said to her mother. Mother, I'm young only once. These are the years I want to use for myself. I want to enjoy all the things I can while I'm young. Once I'm older, I'll settle down and get serious. Then I'll live for God. And her mother didn't answer her right then and there wisely. She waited till her daughter's birthday to answer. And upon coming home from school on her birthday, she found a large wrapped bouquet of flowers on the table. And excited about who would have sent her such a large bouquet of flowers, she tore open the wrapping, but to her shock, she found a set of dead and dried up roses. And a small card was attached to the bouquet of flowers with the simple words, "From your mother." The daughter felt hurt. She felt offended. She said to her mother, "What's this supposed to mean?" And she said, "My dear, these flowers picture your life to God. You first want to spend the beautiful years of your life for yourself, and then you plan to give God the leftovers, the rest of your years. You're saying that you want God to have the wilted years of your life, the dried up years of your life." What are you giving to the Lord? Boys and girls, the Lord wants you to serve him now. And maybe, young people, you're saying, I'll get to this serious stuff when the serious time comes. But young people, this is serious stuff, and this is serious time now already. Who we are to remember. Our Creator, how we are to remember him with love. When are we to remember him? Now. And why are we to remember him? Our last point. Do you see why we need to remember him while we are young? Let me spell out several reasons, young people. Four reasons why we should remember him and seek him and serve him when we're young. For one thing, because when you're young, you have the most energy. Middle-aged adults or old people, they look at children, they look at teenagers, young adults, and they see how much energy they have. It's true. And why is that? Researchers say that children and young people have so much energy because they live in the present and they have less anxiety and worry and regret and sadness. Researchers also say that youth get more oxygen and use their full lung capacity and adults don't. That's why, young people, you need to remember the Lord in your youth. You're strong now. You're active now. You're robust now, but you won't always be. You maybe don't have any health challenges now, but you'll face them later. The years will take their toll on you and you will become weak. Hard days are coming. Evil days are coming. And now, while you have less pressure and less cause for anxiety and less cause for worry, remember your Creator in your youth because you have the most energy. Secondly, it's not only the time of most energy, it's secondly the time of most sensitivity. Your youth is the time of most sensitivity. I know that only the power of God can make us spiritually alive. But it's also true that the years of your youth are the most tender times, the most sensitive times in your life. As you get older, without the Lord, your heart becomes harder. Your conscience becomes more seared. Your sinful habits are more developed. The patterns of sin are more ingrained in you. The older we become, the harder we become. And trials can make us bitter. And we can become more difficult. And if we don't respond to God calling out to us in our youth, it becomes more and more difficult to respond to Him later. Therefore, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because that's the time which you have the most energy, the most sensitivity. Thirdly, it's also a time of most teachability. We learn far more and far better when we're young. There are graphs and charts to show that. You learn the best the younger you are before age 25, and then the graphs by researchers show that after 25, it drops dramatically. The older you become, the less you learn. You see what that means, young people? These are the years when you should be learning the truth. These are the years you should be studying the Word of God. These are the years in which you're being grounded by God's Word. Those who are converted later in life, they regret how little they know, how little they've learned of God and His Word. Someone said, when you're older, you have to work twice as hard to learn half as well. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, because that's the time of most energy, the time of most sensitivity, the time of most teachability, and fourthly, a time of great liability. It's a time of great liability. It's a time of great danger. A time of great temptation. Someone has compared the young years to a minefield. Boys and girls, a minefield is a field that is spread with deadly mines that kill thousands each year where there has been war. Even mines apparently that are decades old are as dangerous as when they were first laid, and they're capable of exploding at the slightest pressure. Yes, your youth is a special time. But it's also a dangerous time. In your youth, you're moving from under the authority of your parents to becoming more independent. In your youth, there's hormones involved, temptations. You're beginning to wander out into the world, but it's like wandering into a minefield. There are traps, booby traps. You can't see them. You don't understand how it works. You think you do. Your parents, sometimes young people, see you heading towards a mine and you say, well, I'm fine. And the next thing that happens is it explodes and it wants to destroy you. There are mines all around us. There's the mine of alcohol, pornography, peer pressure, worldly friends, the mine of ambition and greed, the mine of pleasure, the love of money. And how many have not ignorantly wandered onto these fields and they hurt themselves and they keep stumbling around through the minefield? These are dangerous times when you get into a car, go to a party, end up at a place where there is drink and drugs and everyone seems to be having a good time, and you might easily be drawn in. And in these dangerous times, you need to remember your Creator. Yes, remember Him. Young people, remember Him in the morning. Remember Him throughout the day. Remember Him at night. Remember Him at school. Remember Him at work. Remember Him when you eat. Remember Him when you drink. Remember Him in the big things. Remember Him in the little things. Remember Him in the sick times and in healthy times. Remember Him in your friendships and relationships. Remember Him in affliction and temptation. Remember Him when you're tempted to steal. Remember Him when you're tempted to lie. Remember when you're tempted to be alone as an unmarried couple. Remember Him when God's name is blasphemed and dishonored. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. But what if you're not young anymore? What if, as some of us are, middle-aged? What if you haven't learned to trust in the Lord? Or what if you've come to old years and you still haven't trusted in the Lord? You've grown harder, haven't you? You've become more cynical. Life is not as easy and carefree as it used to be. Many years have passed, and you have less time left than you used to. And the years have taken their toll, and your strength has declined, and your body doesn't work so well anymore. The harder days of life have come. Maybe evil days are here. Is it late? Yes, it is late, but it's not too late. The evil day has come, but not the evil night. There is still time if you're able to think, and if you're able to remember that you have a Creator, and you're to turn to Him with your wasted years and your wasted life, and you're to ask Him to save you and change you. And to have mercy on you, for this Creator is also the Recreator. This Creator is also the Redeemer, who can create a new heart and a clean spirit, who can make all things new. Maybe countless years have passed in which you have forgotten Him, but He has not forgotten you. For the Lord Jesus came. He took on Him a body in its frail condition. And in that body He suffered at a young age already. And He winced in pain. In Gethsemane and on Golgotha, forsaken of His Father, while He did not forsake His Father, but He was forsaken by His Father so that He might hear the plea of people who have to say, "I have forgotten Thee days without number." And with the thief on the cross, we plead, "O Lord, remember me in grace." And in that way, He shows grace and mercy. But then we do need to turn to Him while the evil days have not come. And we need to turn to Him while we live. If not, then our lot will be with the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell and asked for a drop of water to cool his tongue. Remember what Abram said to him? "Son, remember. You had your good days, but you didn't turn to the Lord in those good days, and now you're tormented." Psalm 9, verse 17. I wouldn't say them unless they were in the Bible. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the people that forget God." Therefore, see your need of this God and turn to him. And those who were converted later in life have only one regret. If only I had done it sooner. All those years of serving sin, all those years of serving Satan, all those years in the world, they're gone and I can't get them back. And there's so little time left to serve the Lord. I've never heard anyone say, I came to the Lord too early. I came to the Lord too young. You're never too young. It's never too early to put your trust in the Lord. You won't regret seeking him early. You will regret seeking him late. While you are young, seek him. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O Lord, gracious God, we plead, come into each of our lives so that we may bow before thee, may find mercy in Jesus. As people who by nature forget God, but there is no happiness apart from our Creator. So help us by grace to turn to thee and to turn to thee time and again, remembering thee in our earliest days as boys and girls, remembering thee in hope, faith, and love as teenagers. Please come and enter our thoughts, impact our thinking, our feeling, our doing, so that we may turn from that which doesn't please thee to that which does. Remember us as we are growing older, maybe middle-aged, encountering some or more difficulty than before, more weariness. And maybe especially those that are becoming older and older, if we're spared. Lord, what a blessing it is we've come to know thee in our earliest days and find mercy in the Savior who remember us in our lowest state. Grant that it may impact our living, our home life, our school life, our work life. Also in the face of the many distractions and temptations that come our way. Lord, help us to remember we are but dust. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Pardon graciously our sins, remember us, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.